I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I encourage you to look in your Bibles as we try to read and study. If you don't have your own Bible, there are Bibles on the pews. I encourage you to get a Bible and look at the Word of God as we begin our study this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Lord willing, we'll begin reading with verse 14 and read through verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be trying to study verses 14 through 18. Before we begin to endeavor to study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we need help every day. We know that we can't draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We know that it is in Thee that we live and move and have our very being. And we thank You, Lord, that we have a Father who is the God of heaven and earth, who is all-powerful and all-wise. We're thankful for the security that we feel because of Your greatness and Your power and Your glory. We're thankful for the love of God. We thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. And we pray that You would help us to live each day in a way to manifest that we are truly thankful to Thee for Your goodness to us, not only in saving us from eternal hell, but help us to live in such a way that we can have fellowship with You each day. Help us to live in such a way that we prove that we are thankful for all the blessings that You've bestowed upon us. We thank You for our families. Thank You for the privilege that we have of having children and trying to bring them up and having grandchildren. Pray that You would bless all of them. Pray that You would bless all the children in this church in a very special way, that You would touch those that stand in great need. Pray that You would bless Sister Lena, that You would touch and heal her. That You would bless Sister Rebecca, that You would touch her eyes and bless her to see clearly. And just bless her, Lord, as You alone are able to do. Be with all the others. We know that every child here needs Your help. And we know that every adult here, every elderly person, we all need the help that can come only from Thee. We pray that we might look to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith, for the strength and grace we need for the duties and responsibilities of life. We beg, Lord, that You would bless those who have lost loved ones. We know that You're able to comfort them and give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank You for Brother Jimmy being here this morning, and we pray that You would bless him and all of his family in a very special way. Thank You for Sister Freda's life. Pray that You would comfort and bless them. Be with all the others who have lost loved ones, Lord. Be with Sister Ashley's family and Bush Lady's family and all the others. Comfort them and help them. And Lord, we pray that You would bless all those that are sick and afflicted, that You as the great physician would touch their bodies, and that You would bless their families, that You would give them the strength and grace they need each day. Again, now help us as we try to study Thy holy word. Teach us and instruct us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, now I'd like to ask you to please look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, an unbeliever can be someone who doesn't believe in God at all, but it also can be a child of God that is walking in unbelief, that's walking contrary to the ways and the Word of God. So he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" How many of you have ever heard that birds of a feather what? Birds of a feather flock together. You can typically tell what kind of person, generally speaking, you can tell a lot about a person by the friends that they have. If they have friends that are outstanding Christians, you can almost be sure that they are also trying to live a Christian life. However, if you have people that are living ungodly and don't care about God, they're not focused on serving God and loving God, then you can be pretty well assured that that individual likewise doesn't love God as they should. So he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," and this is the main part that's on my heart, in verses 17 and 18 he says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Correctly read, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Verses 17 and 18 actually do two things. First of all, it tells us a command where God says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." God's people, children of God, are commanded to live separate from the ungodly and those that don't love the Lord. We're not to have fellowship with them. Doesn't mean that you're never around them, but it does mean that that's not the primary friends that you have, that you are not to be unequally yoked together with them, you're not to walk with them, and you're not to be conformed to the way that they walk and the way they live and the way they dress and the way that they talk. He says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." That's the command that we have. And then what's the promise that God gives? If we will do what God says, if we will walk different than the world, if we come out from among them and we separate ourselves. The Word of God also says, "Sanctify yourselves," and that means that we separate ourselves. Sanctify yourselves, or separate yourselves from the world and the ways of the world and the people of the world. He says, if you'll do that, what does He say I will do? He says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Two things. "And I will receive you." That's the first thing He says. "And I will receive you." And He says, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." Now, this verse of Scripture is telling us something that we have to do in order for God to be a father unto us. Does everybody see that? This verse says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." Does the Word of God here tell us there's something that we have to do in order to be a son or a daughter of God as is described here? Yes, it does. Now, let me back up just a moment and tell you that if I were to ask you this question, when did you become a son or daughter of God? You need to understand that the Word of God uses that in a number of different ways. For example, if I asked you, when did you become a child of God? When did you become a son of God? The first answer that you ought to give is that I became a son of God, or I became a child of God before the foundation of the world. That's what the Word of God says. In a covenant sense, listen carefully, in a covenant sense, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. So in a covenant sense, we became children of God before the foundation of the world. And we didn't do anything to become a child of God in a covenant sense. Second way that you became a child of God is in a legal sense. You legally became a child of God when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You were a purchased child of God. You were a redeemed child of God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and He saved you from your sins, you at that point became a legal child of God. You became a child of God in a legal sense. Does everybody follow that? When did you become a child of God? In a covenant sense. When did you become a child of God? Before the foundation of the world. When did you become a child of God? In a legal sense. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Now, the Word of God also talks about how we become children of God in a vital sense. That is, we are alive children of God. We become a child of God in a vital sense when we are born of the Spirit of God. Does everybody follow that? When you're born again, when God comes to you and quickens you and implants His Spirit in your heart, you become a living child of God. You're born of the Spirit of God. So when did you become a child of God? When did you become a child of God? In a covenant sense, when did you become a child of God? Before the world began. When did you become a child of God in a legal sense? When were you purchased and when were you redeemed? At the cross of Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ. When did you become a living child of God? You became a living child of God when God came to you and you were quickened and born of the Spirit of God. And God put His Spirit in you. You were a living child of God. But that's not what any of this is talking about in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. This is talking about becoming a child of God in a manifest sense. That is, that you can look at this person's life and you can see and you can know because of the way they live, you become a child of God in a manifest sense. It's the same thing as becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are only a disciple of Christ when you are following and learning and living like Jesus Christ. That's when you become a child of God in a what? In a manifest sense. That means you can see it, you can identify it, you can look at them, the fruit is there, and you can say, I know that's a child of God because that person is living the way the Word of God teaches that they ought to live. They're coming out, what does the Word of God tell us in this passage of Scripture that we have to do For God to be our Father and us to be His sons and daughters. Come out from among them and be ye separate. The question I would pose to every one of us, me included, is are we living holy lives? Are we separate from the world or have we conformed our lives to the world? Is our desire to fit in and look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world? Is there a major difference in your life and the life of all the people that are walking contrary to God's Word? Is there a major difference in your life? Well, there ought to be. Brother Jerry said, yes, like light and day. Well, there ought to be. It ought to be as clear and as recognizable as night and day. Because that's what it is. Some are walking in the light and some are walking in darkness. And those that are walking in the light, you can look at them and you can say, now that is a child of God. That's a person that's come out from among them. That's a person that's living the way the Word of God says that we're supposed to live. And when we do that, God says, I will be a what? I'll be a father unto you. Now that's the main thing I want us to look at this morning, is God being a father unto us. We all have different concepts of a father. Did you know that? A lot of different ideas of what a father is like. Most of us base our concept of a father on our own natural daddies. I think that most of the time, if you have someone that's even close to being a real Christian as a father, then that's what you view God the Father as being very similar to your natural father. If your natural father was a father that loved God and feared God and tried to serve God, I think that's your concept, basically, of God the Father. Because God is our Father. However, let me quickly say that our Heavenly Father is far superior to any natural father that's ever lived in this world. Doesn't matter how good a natural father you've ever had. Doesn't matter whether they were wicked fathers or if they were good fathers. Doesn't matter if they were ungodly fathers or Christian fathers. Your Father is not near as wonderful and glorious and mighty and loving as your Heavenly Father. And God will be a Father to you. God will be a Father to you. That means, what does that mean, God will be a Father to you? Just tell me, I want some of you to tell me, what do you think it means when God says, and I will be a Father unto you? Okay, I'll be protecting you. Let's just talk about some of the things that God being a Father unto us means. It means one of the things that someone said is He's going to protect you. God will protect you. God will be a Father to you. You know, that's one of the things I always appreciated about my daddy, is he protected me. I remember when I was a little boy, I remember a few times that I was afraid. Now, I liked to fight when I was a little boy, and most of the time, I wasn't afraid of other boys. But I remember one time when I was about 12 years old, I got in a fight with a boy, and his daddy came up and kicked me with his boots, and he hit me, and he hurt me. The daddy did. Well, who do you think I went to? That's right, I went to my daddy. And my daddy and that boy's daddy had a good talk. Now, it was wrong for us to be fighting, but the point I'm trying to get at is my daddy protected me. My daddy protected me. When there were troubles and problems, my daddy, you know, my father was there. Even in high school, when I had trouble, my father was there. Now, my father was not just somebody who protected me. He did that. He protected me. My father fed me. Isn't that something else that our fathers do? They provide for us. In fact, the Word of God makes it plain that fathers are to provide for their families. Husbands are to take care of their families. And we as the people of God, we need to understand that's one of the functions of a father, is not just to protect the children, but also to provide for the children, to give them the things they need, not everything they want. If you give them everything they want, you're conformed to the world. You're acting like the world when you give them everything they want. That's not what a Christian father does. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you're going to give a child what they want, and you want to be a friend to a child instead of being a father to the child, you're not going to discipline them and make them do what's right. But if you're a father to a child, if you're a Christian father, you're going to be setting parameters, and the children know, I cannot argue with this. This person is my father. I will respect my father. That's the kind of father we have, the Heavenly Father. There are consequences. Now, my daddy wouldn't let another man kick me or hit me. My daddy never kicked me, but my daddy did take a belt and wear me out many times. He loved me so much. And listen, brethren, the God of this Bible loves you so much. Now, I don't want to just call Him God anymore. I want to concentrate not just He's your God, but He's your what? I want you to think about Him as your Father. I want it to have it impressed on our minds that if we will do what God says, if we will come out from among them and be separate, if we'll live different from the world, God's promised, I'll be a Father unto you. I'll come and be your Father. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. However, it's also important to understand, if you don't walk different from the world, if you don't come out from the world, He's still your Father in a covenant sense. He's still your Father in a legal sense. He's still your Father in a vital sense. And as your Father, when you don't come out from among them and be you separate, there's something else your Father will do. If you don't live like you ought to live, if you don't walk like you ought to walk, your Father's going to do something else. You know what your Heavenly Father will do? Now, a lot of people don't believe this about God. I was talking with somebody yesterday. They don't believe this at all about God. They say that God is just like a grandfather. And then he just wants to give you everything. He wants to just give you. You just go to him, he'll give you anything you want. If you want to be rich, he'll give you anything. If you want anything, he'll just give you everything you want. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Father. That's not the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father doesn't give you everything you want. And I thank God he doesn't. And the devil will give you things you want. They'll destroy your life because the things you want usually are not the things you need. What will your father do? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Does anybody know what scourge means? What does it mean to scourge? Brother Ken, you're probably one of the oldest men here. What does it mean to scourge? Okay, that means to purge. Purge means get rid of. Okay, all right. You scourge them. Somebody else, tell me, help me with scourge. Beat with a whip. They scourged Jesus. Do all of you remember that? They took a cat of nine tails, and they took that and they whipped Jesus with that cat. That's to scourge someone. To whip them. Our Father loves us so much that He will not allow us to live like the world. He says, you come out from among them and be ye separate. I'll be a father unto you. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. I will manifest love to you. I'll do everything you need as far as a father is concerned. It doesn't matter that my father is gone, my natural father. I have a heavenly father. And even if I've been raised in a home, and if you're in a home where you don't have a godly father, you still have a heavenly father if you're a child of God. And you need to thank God that you have a father. Here's what John said in 1 John 3:1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Think about how marvelous it is that you and me, sinners, isn't it marvelous that we could be sons of God? Oh, if I could have just been a servant of God, just been a part of the Father's house as a servant. But I'm not just a servant. What am I? What are you? We're sons of God. We're children of God. We have a Father that's wonderful and glorious, and He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And when we come out from among them and live separate lives and walk the way the Word of God teaches for us to walk, He will be a Father unto us. He'll show us love. He'll show us affection. When we love Him, He will manifest love to us. That's what our Father will do. Now, let me say this. You might not agree with it, but I want you to think about it as you go home. Sometimes, I don't remember who it was. I think it may have been Billy Sunday, one of the old preachers from years ago, that he talked about and preached a sermon about that you are sinners in the hand of an angry God. Well, listen, brethren, listen carefully. If you're walking contrary to God's Word, I want you to know you're still in God's hand. And you're a sinner in the hand of an angry God when you're walking contrary to God's Word. God gets angry with His people. Our God is a jealous God. Our Father is a loving Father. But our Father will chasten us. So you can be a sinner in the hand, and by sinner there I'm talking about somebody walking in willful disobedience to the teachings and commandments of God, people that want to argue with God. How many of you had daddies that would not allow you to talk back to them? How many of you had daddies that would not allow you to talk back to them? Oh man, how we have changed in America today. And children that have parents that let their children talk back to them and argue with them, they have no concept of what the Father is like. Do all of you understand that? They're raised in homes where they argue with the parents and they talk back to the parents and they rebel against the parents. Unless the parents get them under control, they're not going to have any concept of what a father is. A father is love. And a Father loves us. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much, He will not allow us to do things that are wrong. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us. And we are sinners when we are walking contrary to the ways and Word of God. We're sinners in the hand of an angry God. But I'm telling you that when you come out from among them and be ye separate, as this passage of Scripture is talking about, when you try to live the way that would honor and glorify God, you're not then sinners in the hand of an angry God. You're sons and daughters in the hand of a loving Father. Do you see the difference there? It's all God. We're still His people. We still belong to Him. But listen, brethren, there's a difference in God being pleased with your life and God being displeased with your life. The 5 2-1 talent servants, that parable tells us about the Father, judging according to our works. And the 5 talent servant and the 2 talent servant, what did the king say to those 2 servants? He said, "Well done." Was he pleased with their work? He said, "Well done." Now, all 3 of these are servants, by the way. They all 3 represent children of God. He said to 2 of those servants, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the..." Into the what? "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What is that joy? That whole parable begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. You enter into the joy of the Lord, you're entering into the kingdom of heaven. Let me just pause here and interject this. Whose kingdom is it? Think about this. Tricky question. Whose kingdom is it? Is it Jesus' kingdom? Okay, what does the Word of God emphasize? Does the Word of God emphasize it's Jesus' kingdom or it's the Father's kingdom? What does the Word of God emphasize? If you had asked me last week, I would have probably said it quickly. If answering quickly, I would have probably said the Father emphasizes it's Jesus' kingdom. That's not what the Word of God emphasizes. What the Word of God emphasizes is it's the Father's kingdom. He taught us when we to pray that we're to say our what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Did everybody follow that? Whose kingdom is it? It's the Father's kingdom. And all through the Word of God, over and over, the Word of God is talking about it's our Father's kingdom. And our Father will come and He will manifest Himself to us. We'll have a Father. He'll be a Father unto us. Don't you want to have a good Father? Don't you want to have a Father that just will hold you in His arms and wrap His arms of love round about you and take care of you? Oh, and hug your neck. That's right. Hug your neck. How many of you remember your daddy's hugging your neck? Oh, marvelous. How many of you have ever had your Father, your Heavenly Father, hug your neck, hold you, give you peace, give you comfort, give you joy? Heavenly Father. Now, you may have never had a natural father that was anything close to being in any way like a Christian father ought to be. But in spite of whatever you've had as a natural father, you can have a spiritual father. You can have the God of heaven and earth. He will be a father unto you if you come out from among them and be ye separate. A father. He'll be a father. Fathers provide security. Brother Walker, are you scared of anybody? And everybody here? He said, the only one I'm supposed to be scared of is God. Is that true? Yes, that's true. Isn't it wonderful that some little children are just born with all this knowledge? Isn't that marvelous? Well, they're not born with it. I was being facetious. The children have to be taught. The reason He knows the answer to the question, the only one I'm supposed to be scared of is God, is because the Word of God teaches that we're to fear the Lord our God. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. The Word of God tells us that God says, "Fear not men." Don't, let me tell you this also. There's some of you that you stand in great need this morning. And I want everybody here to know that as long as I've got food, you've got food. Does everybody understand that?
Yes, amen.
I believe this church is close enough that we're family. We're family. And if you need something, if you need help, we're here for you. We love you. We're children of the Father. Our Father provides for us in a lot of different ways. One of the ways our Father provides for us is through other brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you know that?
Yes, amen.
We're here to help each other. If you need me, if I need you, you call on me. I come to you, I call on you, you'll come to me.
Amen.
It's because we have a Father. And we want to please. Who do you want to please? Who do you want to please? The Father. I want to please the Lord. I want to please my Father. I want to please my Father. When you ask me to do something, I shouldn't do it to please you. I ought to do it to please my Father. I'm so glad my Father has just given me an opportunity to do something for you. I'm glad my Father has given me an opportunity to serve Him. I'm glad my Father has opened the door. Now listen carefully. If you're doing things to please people, you're going to be angry about what you're doing. But if you're doing things because you want to please your Father, you're going to be happy to do everything you do. In fact, there are times that I'm so weak and weary and faint and I'm tired and somebody calls and asks me to do something and I think I just can't do it. But then if I think, if I'm not doing it for them, but I'm doing it for my Father, it gives me energy and I go do it, not because I want to please them, but I want to please my Father. My Father's been so good to me. My Father's been so good to me. I think, and you may disagree with me, but I think I am the most blessed human being on the face of this earth.
Well, you could be.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, she said, well, you could be. And I think that I am. I really do. I honestly believe that I am the most blessed person on the face of this earth.
Well,
God's been good to me. He's blessed me beyond measure. He's a Father. In spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my failures, He is a merciful Father. I thank God He's merciful. I thank my Father that He's merciful. I thank my Father that He's gracious. I'm thankful my Father does not give me what I deserve. Does everybody understand that? My Father has never given me what I deserve. I deserve eternal hell. That's what I deserve. But my Father, I deserve eternal hell except for the blood of Jesus Christ. But my Father has provided the blood of His Son that has kept me out and will keep me out of eternal hell. And my Father is still being gracious to me every day of my life. He pours out His abundant blessings. My Father is good to me. Now, if you appreciate what your Father, talking about that perfect Father, every good and perfect gift cometh down from whom? From the Father. That's right, Sister Nellie. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of time. Comes from the Father. My Father has been good to me. Everything I have is a gift from God. Everything I have is a blessing from God. My wife, the Bible says, my wife is from the Lord. My children are from the Lord. My grandchildren are from the Lord. This church is a blessing in my life. It's a blessing from the Lord. You know how I found this church? Brother David, how did I find this church?
God sent it to me.
That's right. God sent it to me and me to it. You know how, let me ask you something, brethren. Everybody in this building, you know how you got here? You know why you're here? Your Father. Your Father. It wasn't that you found the church. Your Father led you here. And if you're here, you need to thank not your friend who brought you, not somebody else who brought you. You need to thank your Father. Your Father. How much has your Father done for you today? I didn't get to the Scriptures I want to look at. I want us to come back tonight and I want us to think about what... I just want us to take, first of all tonight, I just want us to take the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody listen carefully. Some of you can't be back tonight. I want you to go home and I want you to read the Sermon on the Mount. Listen carefully. You go home and read the Sermon on the Mount and you read
what your Father has done for you. And you read what you're supposed to be doing to honor your Father. I'm going to just give you one. This is just the beginning of it. It's Matthew 5:16, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give you glory." Give you glory? How many of you like to get glory? Thank you, Brother Caleb. Thank you, brother. I like glory. I ought not to, and I ought not to try to take glory to myself, because the Word of God says that God will not give His glory to another. And if I start wanting the glory, and I start glorying in the glory, God will take it all away from me. God will not give His glory to another. All glory goes to the Father. So when you do good works and somebody comes and says, "Thank you for what you did," you remind them it was something from the Father. Whatever you did that was good, you remind them, "The Father sent me. The Father sent me. My Father. How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel?" And I know I ask a lot of just about all of you. I ask a lot of things of you. Brother David, I ask all kinds of things of you. Just call on Him all the time. Always ready. And I think the reason that He's always ready is not because He wants to please His preacher or please His pastor. I think He wants to please somebody else. He wants to please His Father. His Father. You know why He goes to the nursing home every Wednesday morning and plays the dulcimer and speaks from God's Word out there? You think that's to please me? Nah. You think it's to get glory? I don't believe it. I think He's there to please most of the time. Now listen, every time you start doing things to serve the Lord, guess what will happen every now and then? Every now and then, even preachers. Do you know sometimes I want glory? Oh, flesh just jumps right in. Sometimes I glory in the glory and praise that I get. And you know what God will do? He'll just slap me right in the face. Knock me down. God will not give His glory to another. Let your light so shine before men. What you're doing, all the things you're doing a lot. All the things you're doing, if you're doing them to honor the Father, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May God help us to do good works. Be busy about our Father's business. I've got a lot to do. I hope the Lord bless me to live a long time. But I hope that as long as I live, I hope I'm serving the Father. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.